Okay, this hour we'll continue talking with Cheryl Chumley about Police State USA. And of course, we'll take your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. We'll take your phone calls this hour with Cheryl Chumley, Police State USA. Cheryl, back to zoning. I can understand how cities will try to restrict some people from doing some outrageous things, but maybe they've gone too far.
Well, I think they've gone too far, especially with the development of homeowners associations around the nation. In 1970, 1.2 million Americans lived in HOAs. By 2012, that's almost up to 30 million. And these housing developments with their accompanying homeowners associations are just growing left and right. And if you live in one, you don't need me to tell you, some of them are pretty strict with their regulations. They're like quasi-governments. These are things that people voluntarily enter, so it's not exactly a government zoning issue, but what it is, it's a mindset change that shows people are a lot more willing to give up their private property rights when they feel like they're getting some kind of benefit in return, such as their private their properties will maintain their values because their neighbors will have to maintain their homes, the aesthetics of their homes, keep their lawns mowed, and so forth. So everybody on the street, their homes will look nice and their property values will stay high. But some of these HOAs have gone really above and beyond common sense provisions, restricting American flags from being flown, restricting planting flowers in your front yard, and they're also empowered to fine you for violations, and if you don't pay those fines, they can ultimately take you to court and take your home.
Jeez. Now, how did we get to this point, Cheryl? I mean, what happened? I mean, who was the genius behind all of this?
Yeah, I hate homeowners associations because I can't see how any person would want to trade their private property rights just to, you know, keep their perceived property value high. I think we get to this point because homeowners associations, people don't like their neighbors having parked cars in their driveway that don't run, or they don't like how their neighbors don't mow their grass as frequently as they should.
Right. Or they've got six dogs or something like that.
Right. You get a lot of people that are pointing fingers at their neighbors. And so when these homeowners associations sprung up, it sounded like, hey, what a great idea. Now everybody on my street has to keep their yard as looking as nice as mine. The local government permitting and zoning issues, they're completely separate. But those are just as restrictive, if not more, than homeowners associations.
And, you know, with where we're headed, give me your vision for the next 10 years.
Well, if Americans don't dig in now and take some bold steps to overcome, the next generation is not going to know the notion of our rights coming from God, not government. And it's going to be deeper down that path. I think the last wall to crumble is the idea that we're still allowed to, you know, speak of God in public, because that at least shows that we recognize that God is part of this government.
Sure.
But in the next 10 years, think how much worse it's going to be.
Could be a disaster. Could be just a disaster. And it's going quicker and quicker and quicker, isn't it?
Well, think of it. If your kids aren't being taught the Constitution in school, if they're being taught that government, it's the right of government to tell them what to eat and not the parents, and meanwhile, Americans in this country are so busy trying to make ends meet, holding down 2-3 jobs because the economy stinks, who's going to have time to, you know, turn this government around? The next generation isn't going to realize what this country was founded upon. So we need to act quickly, and we need to be bold about it and take some steps to bring this government back under control.
Let's take some calls here for you. Cheryl Mark is in Port Orchard, Washington. On the wild card line. Mark, thank you. Question story. Go ahead.
Yeah. My name's Mark, and I got 30 years experience in law enforcement, and I did most of it in the federal government, and I worked for U.S. Customs, and I actually did forfeiture cases, asset forfeiture, and mostly involving Title 21 drugs and stuff. But basically what it boils down to is we were given a tool to use. Unfortunately, you wind up with some people who want to misuse the tool, because the more stuff you seize, the more people you arrest, the more chances you are getting promoted, get your year-end bonuses. And, of course, that's what your supervisors want, too. They want to get promoted in the year-end bonuses. So constantly, all the time we were doing forfeiture investigations and things like that, there was a constant push-pull where you were trying to follow, you know, the regulations and the laws and everything. At the same time, you've got those people that are pushing the envelope, trying to go after everything they can to get that statistic that's going to help with their promotion. And I'll give you an example of something kind of related that wound up happening. We received a memo from the Department of Justice in the 1990s basically telling us that if we didn't stop trying to phony up excuses and everything and didn't follow the right procedures to get wiretaps, they were going to take that away from us, because there were actually some people that were bending the rules for wiretaps, because wiretaps are supposed to be the last thing you do to try to make a case. And they were basically phoning up the fact that they'd done everything before that. In other words, tried to run informants to organizations, did all the paperwork, did all the other investigation, you know, checked the assets and all the bank records and everything like that. They were trying to phony all that information up to jump straight to the wiretap, because that's the easy way of doing it. It's easy to catch somebody if you can listen to the phone 24 hours a day. And so we actually received a letter from the Department of Justice telling us that if, you know, we didn't start, and it wasn't so much Customs, but there was some other agency that were doing this, if we didn't start crossing our T's, dotting our I's, you know, they were going to start putting more restrictions on us. And that, to a certain extent, happened also during asset forfeitures, because over the years, especially in the 90s, there were some variation, some restrictions in the late 90s, early 2000s on what you could do for forfeiture and things like that, because people were going nuts on that thing too, trying to basically do anything they can to seize something once again to look good, to get that promotion for you and your supervisor.
Mark, would you say it's out of control still?
I've been retired for a few years. I think part of the, I'll give you something else, kind of a little caveat. I was also, the last few years I spent was in a lot of, I was primarily doing training, and it was primarily in, you know, use of force and firearms and things like that. There was a mindset created in the 1990s that was kind of was us versus them. And it's starting to turn around now because people are realizing how out of control it's getting. But that's kind of that mentality was, it's us versus everybody, and we got to, and of course, we're the ones that are right because we're the ones that carry the badges and the guns and everything. So we need to get out there and we need to protect the public. Well, in the process of protecting the public, quite often we basically decide, you know, on a moment's notice, you're a dirtbag, you're not, I'm going to go after you. And we're not always right because we're humans. And then, but then, of course, we lack that ability to come back later on and say, hey, I made a mistake. Locally in the Seattle area, that's where the Washington, the police academy that most of the departments send their people to is over in Burien, Washington. Mm-hmm. We recently got a new chief in there who's running the academy. It's a former sheriff, and I can't remember if she's a former sheriff of King County or Snohomish. Her name is Sue Rahr, and you might want to get her on the radio sometime. She had to go in there and redo the whole mindset of the academy, because they were training everybody basically to be warriors, like you guys were talking about, like being this militaristic, kicking the door, you know, don't trust anybody. Somebody's always trying to shoot you. She's trying to get back to the old model that I was raised under, which was protect and serve. Yeah, you watch the bad guy, you watch their hands, you make sure they can't hurt you. But you understand that most people aren't the bad guys. You can't walk out there and be Mr. or Mrs. Paranoid and be able to do a good job, because then that's what you wind up doing. Like she was talking about those local cases in Texas and California and Southwest border cases, a lot of those wound up getting some of the asset forfeiture rules for some of the agencies in the federal level tightened because of that, because they saw the abuses by some of the small counties and stuff to get that money. And that's what it boils down to, is if people forget that the reason you're law enforcement is to protect and serve, and everybody starts worrying more about what's in it for me, where's my 20-year retirement, you know, where's my promotions, where's my end-of-the-year bonus, that's what happens. And you stop losing the reason that you're there. You stop losing the reason you took that oath, which is a sacred excuse me, which is a sacred oath that people don't realize. Just like when you take the oath to defend the country's military, you take you are a commissioned law enforcement officer. People forget that. We are commissioned, which means we have to take another sacred oath towards the Constitution, just like if you're in the military.
Good insight.
And that's what I think law enforcement forgets.
All right, very good. Thank you. Good insight there. You know, a lot of people probably share his same views, Cheryl. I'm glad he's around.
Yeah. Where was he when I was writing my book? I would have loved to have interviewed him.
Oh, my gosh. My gosh, sure is. Let's go to Rockland, California now. Colleen is with us. Hey, Colleen, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning, George and Cheryl. How are you both?
Good.
Cheryl, I'm just going to respectfully disagree with you. The president is the man I voted for in the last two elections. As far as I'm concerned, his is the will of the people, the majority of the people. He's the president. So that's something that the Republicans and others have to get over. He is the president. What he's doing, he wouldn't have to be doing, like you say, the pen and phone. It's the pen and, the pen and phone or whatever. If he'd had some cooperation from the representatives in Congress who are nothing but negative. They don't want to help. They don't want to help the people that have been out of work. They've avoided, as Mitch McConnell said, our agenda is going to be to make sure this president doesn't get reelected. And they have, at their own selfishness, chosen to stonewall the Democrats and the president. It was specifically Barack Obama. They have chosen to be a no person, a no people, a party of no. And that doesn't sit well with the average person. And the average person would like his government to run, would like to have more jobs created, would like to have the infrastructure fixed. But as far, the last time I checked, everything that the current administration has promoted to improve the economy, to improve the working stance of the people, to improve everything, has been that it has been the Republicans, and not just Republicans, the Tea Partiers, conservatives, and I know you're a conservative, but they have stood in the way of progress. Who cares that it's a black man that's the president that you don't happen to care for? You know, fairness is fairness. And there are a lot of things in life that aren't fair. I was a homeowner where we had a homeowners association, but you don't have to live in a development where there is a homeowners association if it gets to be too strange for you.
So I think, Colleen, though, the biggest problem right now is, and it's not just a Democrat or Republican thing, as Cheryl had pointed out earlier, it's the fact that right now everything's out of control. The police state's out of control. Executive powers are out of control. Spending money is out of control. And one day, somebody's going to pay for it. Your kids, my grandchildren, somebody's going to pay for it. The latest Rasmussen poll taken on Tuesday shows that 50% of the likely U.S. voters approve of President Obama's performance, 49% disapprove. That's 50-50. That's not great odds. I mean, a true leader needs to get up in those 60%, 65% margins, or you're going to have a divided country, which is what we've got right now. But I'll let you react to that, Cheryl, if you would, and then we'll go on to some other calls. Thank you, Colleen, by the way.
I was just going to point to, instead of reacting with my personal opinion, I was going to point to recent polls that show President Obama's favor has fallen considerably over the years, actually, with the American public. So it's not just the matter of, Republican versus Democrat. The Republicans are holding him up and not letting him pass the bills that he thinks are best for the American public. The American public is not looking at Obama with those same starry eyes that they used to. And, so speaking to Obama's will of the people, I think, as George, you were just pointing out, it's 50-50, and that's why the division is so intense right now.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And, you know, it's not fair to say that he's done nothing right for people. And it's not fair to say he's done everything right for people. I mean, there's just a lot of issues out there that just aren't working right. And, you know, we shall have to see in the next presidential election. But the bottom line is this increase in spending, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or Libertarian, has got to slow down. Somebody's going to pay the piper one day. And they can't keep propping it up with fiat money and keep printing this. It's going to collapse. 2008 was nothing compared to what's going to happen again when it goes. Let's go to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hey, Cornelius, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Hey, George and Shirley, God bless both of y'all. And I do appreciate you, Miss Shirley. Maybe she didn't. I used to be a 15-year military police officer, and, you know, I can see where the police are militarizing. We had a situation here where two young officers were lost, so they said they needed one of those MRAP vehicles, you know, for protection.
Yeah.
And they, for a battering ram and stuff like that. So that was a good reason to get something like that. But, you know, our citizens, we need to start arming ourselves too, and we need to start taking care of ourselves. And I hope, George, you know, I know you're a veteran too. I hope one day you'll do a show on this VA stuff also. And I hope we can turn things around. But I just don't, if you read the Bible, it's going just the way the Bible's saying.
Sadly, it sure is.
But God bless y'all and thank y'all.
All right, Cornelius, I appreciate that. You know, and that's another thing where you talk about God in your book. You talk about God a lot in Police State, Colleen. But I guess you might have to talk about the book of Revelation, too. Cornelius is right. We are heading kind of like toward end times, aren't we?
Well, yeah, and my book certainly isn't going to change that. I mean, that's the Bible. There's no getting away from those truths. But, you know, while we're here, we can certainly fight for what's right. And I don't believe just, you know, giving up and saying, oh, well, Revelation's right around the corner. You know, this is our country. This is America. And people fought and died for our freedoms. And that still means something to a heck of a lot of Americans. We should honor that.
Well, I think we can, too. Look, we're going to take this break in a second here and come back and take some more calls with you. But where can people get Police State? And I understand you have a blog, too.
I do. They can buy Police State at wndbooks.com or on Amazon. And my blog, if they're interested, is CherylChumley.blogspot.com.
Are you concerned about the future of America?
Yes. This is why I wrote the book. I have four kids. What are my kids going to think, you know, when they're my age, looking back on America and not seeing even the fraction of the freedoms that we're experiencing now?
Remember those movies where Big Brother was beaming down on you all the time? Those big screens in those movies? Everything you did, they were watching. Everything they wanted you to do, they told you. That's going to happen.
Yeah, remember when that was just fiction and you'd leave the theater thinking, ah, that was fun, but now it's not so fun or funny.
We're going to come back and take some final phone calls with Cheryl in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, I invite you all to watch our internet-based TV show, Beyond Belief, because truly it is beyond belief. You get watch it for 10 days free before you have to make up your mind, but you get all the other videos to look at, too. It's an incredible package for you. Simply go to this website, www.beyondbelief.com. And welcome back. Our final segment with Cheryl Chumbly as we talk about Police State USA and your calls. Cheryl, in your work, in your research, come across anything that just shocked the heck out of you?
The civil forfeitures did. Definitely that chapter is pretty shocking in itself.
It sure is.
Some of the stuff that went on in schools, for instance, a school was so fearful of being sued by an atheist group that they had a picture of Jesus hung in a wall that had hung there since the 1950s as part of a historic display, and it was clearly labeled historic display. They had to remove that painting, and they put it in a closet in the school because they were afraid of being sued. But even that wasn't enough for the atheist group. They demanded that the painting be removed from the school property completely because they were worried that somebody might open the closet door and see it there. there. I mean, that's just how far we've come, the ridiculous, you know, threatening intimidation that goes on in our schools.
Well, what about the ACLU going after cities that put up nativity scenes during Christmas? I mean, it is as far as being religious as you can get. It's a depiction of Christmas time, and yet they are successful scaring off some of these cities, taking down their nativity scenes.
Yeah, but I bet they take their Christmas break. You know, I bet they take their Christmas day off from work, and they get paid for it.
Ah, but you got to separate it from church and state, Cheryl. Let's go back to the phones. Final calls here. Cody is in Hammond, Indy, Louisiana. Hey, Cody, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, it's happening. But there was this thing brought up about executive orders, and Cheryl was wondering why Congress doesn't do anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's because the president can simply veto whatever Congress passes in a law.
Cheryl, isn't there an override there?
Yeah, I think it 2/3 or 3/4 of Congress, I forget. I believe it's 2/3 can override the president's veto.
Yeah, so you are right. You can veto it. A president can veto it, but there is an override provision. Of course, that's a lot of votes to override, so maybe it's almost a slam dunk. Faith is in Charlottesville, Virginia on the wild card line. Hi, Faith. Go ahead.
Well, I want to thank you, George and Cheryl. This has been a very salient program, and I appreciate it. I'm a professor of social sciences as well as also toxic sciences, and I come out of 9/11. So I see a perspective as a clergy from very different points of view. Number one, Obama is scary. I don't understand the woman who thinks he's wonderful. To me, we are living in a fascist state. We are living in an extremely dangerous place right now. Obama passed the National Defense Authorization Act, I think, in his first year of the second term, which basically has eliminated our Bill of Rights. That's number one, our ability to express ourselves. That's number two. There's some things that Cheryl had mentioned that do bother me that I found a little bit disconcerting. First of all, and it's nothing you said, Cheryl. It's just that we are designed by the media, where the government is controlling the media. That's number one. That's what I teach. Number two, we are in such a dreadful situation where, why is this all happening? This is a very, very grand scheme that has been set in motion many, many years ago and is coming to fruition. This is about controlling us. We are not ordinary people. We are not average people. We are citizens of the United States. And might I point out, as being a clergy and not of the Christian faith, but of another faith, this is a melting pot, the United States. So I'm a little bit disquieted, a little bit uncomfortable about comments that are said about the Bible, because as a rabbi, I know what the Bible is. The first original Bible is my Torah. And I do take umbrage to that statement, because I don't live in a Christian state, although I do, living in the South after leaving New York. Unfortunately, I do, and I'm very saddened by that. I'm a baby boomer. And I see what's happening all across the board in terms of our food control, our food supplies, what's happened with Monsanto, which is really Monsatan, taking over, and Bill Gates, who designed a virus, a special serum, along with Warren Buffett, to reduce population control by putting this particular serum into genetically modified food, which is creating the pandemic of obesity in children as well as newborn children. And if you want to listen to Dr. Robert Lustig, who wrote Fat Up, he just finished his book, and he was just interviewed on another radio station about the pandemic, about what's happening in our society food-wise. And I often tell people that they're not going to come for your guns. They're not going to come for your gold or your money. People are going to start starving. They're going to start coming for your food in your freezer and in your refrigerator. This is how serious we are. We are at a precipice.
Well,
and we have
though,
a world of people who think Obama is God.
If they do that, then you're going to have a severe problem. As far as Gates and Buffett, I don't think it's ever been proved that they're lacing food with any kind of vaccine. Bill Gates, of course, is a booster of vaccines, but I don't think they're injecting it in our food supply. Cheryl, do you want to comment on any of that?
Well, we all could eat better, I suppose. As far as what she was saying about concerns with the Christian aspects of my views. You know, our country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. The founding fathers did not want a government that was, you know, an establishment of religion. They didn't want to escalate, or they didn't want government to declare one religion over another. But at the same time, the founding fathers, most of them, came from Judeo-Christian backgrounds, and even those who consider themselves humanists spoke of a higher power. You know, the influence of our Judeo-Christian roots are everywhere around this nation, and it coincides with my view that I believe our nation was founded on rights coming from God, not government, and I believe that that is based on a Judeo-Christian God. That's my view.
Well, keep in mind, though, Cheryl, every religion believes in a God, whether it's you're a Buddhist or a Christian or a Muslim, or you practice the Jewish faith. It's all, everybody believes in God. And to me, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a higher power here guiding our nation, not government. If it makes you uncomfortable to think of one type, one God over your belief, then just think of it in terms of a higher power. You know, government is not in control here, in my view. Government is not the one that grants us our rights. Our rights come from God. And as you point out, George, depending on your faith, you still believe in a God.
No doubt. Let's go next. We've got Les in Phoenix, and now he's on Coast to Coast. Les, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. Usually I'm Les calling from Wahoo, Nebraska, but I happen to be working in the Phoenix area for a month.
I just left Phoenix last weekend, and what a great area.
I know. The thing is, I wanted to come to the thing you were going to do in Scottsdale, but yeah. I was helping a friend move that I hadn't seen in 10 years. So I got here to go to work. I saw my friend, helped him move, said goodbye, and hadn't seen him in 10 years. But I was so tired at the end of that day that I couldn't even get to Scottsdale. But I thought, oh, I'll finally get a chance to get together with my brethren. But someday it'll happen. But that
time.
Last caller really confused me, because he basically is agreeing with everything. But the way he started off, I really didn't understand what he was saying. And I myself, I'm not really a Christian. I'm not a Jew. I'm just a Hebrew roots follower of the Bible, and I believe Yeshua is the Jewish Messiah. But, you know, time will tell on all that, and I'm not worried about it. But, Cheryl, I wanted to thank you for what you're saying and what you're doing, along with most of the other guests that George Norrie has come in. You guys are all awesome. And I appreciate getting the information out that you do, and you know, keep up the work. And another thing that happened here in Phoenix, I'm originally from California, moved to Wahoo, Nebraska 25 years ago, but I got called to come work out here. And I just before I walked in, before I called you guys, I just spent an evening at dinner with my very first love, when I was 16 years old, and her sister, who I have not seen in over 30 years.
How cool is that?
And it was absolutely awesome. And then I come back here, and then somehow I got blessed to be able to get on the air with you folks.
Super.
You know, I got a lot of high hopes for our country and for the world, but I really believe with all my heart, the only chance the world has is Yeshua, Messiah. And the Bible prophecies are full of it. And everything that's happening right now is fulfilling the scriptures to a T. And I believe that we're getting very close to a very serious thing. And I also believe the UFO phenomenon is going to be a big part of the Antichrist thing that's coming down. And I think our government's involved, and a lot of stuff is involved that's far beyond what most people can even imagine.
And you're not alone with that, Les, at all. A lot of people think that the UFO situation is demonic. That's a little out of your bailiwick, Cheryl, but lots going on this planet. But it tells you one thing, just with the calls that we've had over the past hour, Cheryl,
yes,
that people are aware, concerned, frightened in some cases, that government is going to infringe on everything they do. And I think there's going to come a point where they're going to say, enough is enough. We're not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, people are feeling it. I agree. I mean, if you look out across this nation, that there's so much division and partisanship and rancor, and, you know, people are anxious. They're on edge. And like you said, you can, just the few callers, you know, you can hear it in their tones and so forth. And I agree, it's got to come to a head, because it can't go on like this. There's too many people who care about this nation, who realize how far we've strayed from what we were intended, and who are willing to put all on the line to basically bring this nation back into something where the government works for the people again. Remember, the government are our servants. That's their proper, rightful constitutional role.
Next up, we go to Mike in Wolf Point, Montana, west of the Rockies. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, Cheryl.
Good to have you with us.
My wife and I are preppers. We live here in the Northwest, and, you know, naturally we store food and water and stuff. My question is, if the system's going to collapse, how long do you think we have to protect our things and you know, get more supplies before it all becomes, you know, riots in the streets?
Geez, I'd hate to see that scenario anytime soon. I can't say, but George made mention of something that was interesting a little while ago when he talked about fiat money and the need to get off the paper version of our dollar and so forth, return to a gold standard. And without that, you know, look at our economy, look at our debt. We're basically maxed out, and it's getting to the point where if we can't pay our debts, how are we going to survive? That's going to create a national panic, I would think. You know, and there's predictions that could come true in the next couple of years.
We've got first-time caller Pat in St. Petersburg, Florida. Thanks for calling, Pat. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I look at this stuff and I see that we have laws that are enacted to fight terrorists, but then they're used against other people. I mean,
that's right.
The governor of New York was forced to resign because they found him funneling money, and the reason they found him funneling money to this prostitute was because of the Patriot Act. They could look up the bank records and what was transferring, and. Same thing with, like, RICO. RICO was for organized crime, and all of a sudden, RICO standard is you could drive a truck through it, you know. It's very scary to think, and you know, why, with the military hardware and everything that we've gotten, like, I was just looking up that the Department of Education has a SWAT team.
Oh, I know that. And look, Homeland Security continues to buy all kinds of ammo for all kinds of departments. I mean, it is a... scary feeling about what the future could hold, Cheryl, and I think that's what concerns so many people. Though we're beginning to see the change now, you know, a few years from now, this could be really a mess. I think in the long run, we're going to win. We're going to be okay, but it's going to be a bumpy road to get there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think these next elections are going to be really heated up because, you know, people are feeling the heat, they're feeling the intensity, and they feel like something's wrong in their nation. And, you know, a lot of people wonder how our politicians can get by with half of what they get by with. So I think these elections are going to be pretty intense that we see coming in 2014 and the next White House run.
Let's go to Dana in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hello, Dana. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, you're welcome, George. Cheryl, thank you for taking the time out of your life and to write this. I so appreciate this. And I have a question to ask you. Are you finding more people like the callers tonight that are so thrilled with this, the expose, although many of us are aware of this? Things like this, or, you know, isolated incidents, but not so comprehensive of a package of what you put together in your book, or people like the troll that called earlier, and I've heard her on other radio stations, Colleen, singing Obama's praises and spewing all the Obama blank. And before you answer that, Cheryl, I just want...
I let everybody with different views.
No, that's okay. I just want to say something because Cheryl was so gracious not to address it. The professor put her in her place, Colleen, but I want to say something. Obama is not doing the will of the people. I agree with the professor. He is a very dangerous person. I agree with Cheryl. We're in a very dangerous situation, and Obama has accelerated it. And if Colleen would have explained, he's not doing the will of the people because they heavily polled Harris County, Pennsylvania, as well as I think it's Hamilton County, Ohio, in 2012. The vote was not that I was a Romney fan. He was too progressive for me. And Obama was out. There was no chance I'd vote for him ever. But because unlike Colleen, I did my due diligence and research this guy back in 2007. It was overwhelmingly for Romney. And yet when the polls came in, 100% for Obama. So, you know, Colleen needs to call with facts and not with her personal opinion. So I guess my question is, as I stated, Cheryl, are you dealing with a lot of these Obama bots that absolutely are suffering from such cognitive dissonance that they've made such a very dangerous, serious mistake? Or are more people like myself open to what you have done and accepting of it?
I think all of George's callers this evening have been gracious and respectful. And, you know, people have different opinions. I don't mind people disagreeing with what I say. I only mind when they get disrespectful, and instead of just simply disagreeing, they start to name call or to go off on different
right.
tangents.
Or they get, you know, profane and stuff, and that's where
right.
we end it with them. You know, I want people, I don't want people to have to agree with what you say, with what I say. I want them to talk about what they believe. That's important.
Right.
And I'm not here to chastise anybody because they have a different belief system. Heck, if somebody calls in and says they love genetically modified foods, hey, that more power to them. So we've only got about 30 seconds left. I want to wrap things up with you, Cheryl, by one, thanking you for having the guts to write a book called Police State USA. And, you know, well wishes with it.
I appreciate that. And I can't thank you enough for having me as a guest on your show. It's been a real pleasure, a real honor. You're great, George. Thank you.
All right. You take care of yourself. Up next, Nick Begich rolls in. Is the government going to shut down HAARP? And what does that all mean? That'll be next on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, so much more throughout the night. Don't touch your dial. We shall be right back.